No.
No.
He must be on one of his fishing trips.
They won't be back.
Did he get back? Come on.
Alright, so let's begin. Today's daf is Pei Dalet. We're starting on the bottom of Pei Gimel Amud Beis, three lines up from the bottom. Misha Nashcho Kelev Shota. So the Mishnah said, Misha Nashcho Kelev Shota, someone who was bitten by literally a crazy dog. So we saw Machlokes and Mishnah between Rabbi Masi ben Charash and the Chacham as to how to treat it. Rabbi Masi ben Charash said that we give the person who is bitten to eat from the liver lobe of the dog, and the Chachamim say that you can't do that because ultimately that is not a proven remedy. Thank you. So the Gemara says the following: Tan Rabbanan, Chamisha Dvarim and Ne'emru Bekelev Shota. There are five things that were said about a crazy dog, meaning five identifying signs to see that the dog is a kelev shota. Piv pasuach, its mouth is open. Riro notev, saliva drips from its mouth. Oznov seruchos, its ears are drooping. Znovo munach ayre kosav, its tail is against its legs. Umahalech beside drach, and it only walks on the side of the road. Vishom, others say, af noveach vein kolo nishma. Others say it barks, but yet its voice cannot be heard. Me, my hobby, how does a dog become a kelev shota? Rav Amar, Nashim Kashfanios Mesecha Kospo. Rav attributed to kishuf, to witchcraft, to sorcery, that ultimately that women who were mechashim, again, it's interesting that, remember, the Torah itself, when it phrases the prohibition against kishuf, says mechashefa lo sechaya, phrases it in the feminine. So Rashi HaKadosh says, what, only women practice sorcery and not men? To which the Rashi says, it happened to be historically that there are more women involved in sorcery than men. That's why the Torah phrases it in the feminine. But it applies to anyone, of course, who practices sorcery. So Rav says that Nashim Kashfanios, some women practice sorcery on this dog, and that's why it's in this state. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, Ruach Ra Shura Amav. Shmuel says, a negative spirit or an evil spirit rests upon it. I will say, Ruach Ra can mean a whole variety of things. Ruach Ra can mean Shedim. Ruach Ra can mean some form of Tuma. Here we'll see the Gemara seems to indicate that it's some type of Shedim. By now. So we'll say, what's the practical difference as to these two opinions as to how the Kelev becomes a Kelev Shota? Ika Benayu, here's the difference. Top of Pei Dalet, I will say, top line of Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. Ika Benayu. Here's the nafkamina. The one thing is clear, that you have to put down the kelev shota. How do you kill it? So can you kill it by coming in close contact with it? Or should you kill it with davar hanizrak? Davar hanizrak also means like with an arrow, a projectile. So this way you don't have to come too close to the animal. Tanya kavase dishmuel. We have a right to that support. So also I remember, according to the idea, if you look at Rashi, lemik delay b'davar hanizrak, l'madam ruach ra shor alav, Lo yikrav etzla lahargo biyadayim, el zorik bochitz osakin bahargo. So also according to the opinion, which is Shmuel, that the kelev shota is a result of a ruach ra, you would not want to touch the dog directly. So instead you would go ahead and kill it with some type of projectile that you could throw at it. So the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Tanya kavasi di Shmuel. There's a Brisa that supports the opinion of Shmuel. Kisha hargin, also, when they kill the kelev shota, ein hargin also ella bidavar hanizrak. We only go ahead and kill it through a projectile by throwing something. D'chayiv bei mistakin. I will say, if the kelev shota rubs against you, it could put a person in danger. D'nochis le mayis. If it bites you, you will die. D'chayiv bei mistakin. If the kelev shota rubs against you, so you're in a state of sakana, my takante. So what's the remedy? Meaning, how do you deal with that? Nishlach mane. So the first thing the Gemara says is you should take off all of your clothing. Rashi says, Yavshit pagada, take off your clothing, vinirhit, and run. Take off your clothing and run. So apparently, again, the Ruach Roh, I guess, rests upon the external clothing of a person. Take off your clothing and run. Rav Huna Brid Rav Yoshua, Chaf Bechan Minaya B'Shuka. Rav Huna Brid Rav Yoshua had a kelev shota that rubbed against him in the shuk. Shalchinu Lamane, he literally took off his clothing, Verohit, and he ran. Amr Kiyamti Batsmi, he said, I upheld in myself the principle, Hachachma Techaya Ba'aleha. Of course, over here, the passage from Kohelas, that literally wisdom will sustain its owner, meaning that when a person has wisdom, they're able to stay alive. So he's, because he knew this eitz as to how to deal with the Kelev Shota, he felt that he was able to stay alive. Dinochisle Mayis. So the Gemara said, if one gets bitten, one is bitten by a Kelev Shota, he will die. My takante. So what is the remedy? Amr Abaye said, Nesi Mashcha da Apa de Dichra. He should take the skin of a male polecat, Vinichtov Ale, and he should write on it the following. Ana Planya Bar Planisa. I am so and so, the son of so and so. Amshcha da Apa Dichra Kasivna Aloch. And I'm writing on the skin of the male polecat. And what am I writing on it? Kanti Kanti Klirus. All right, Kanti, Kanti, Kliros. People say, you know, when we had some of these sugyas earlier on about the Shadim, there's a whole discussion in general about how to deal with Shadim, and discussion about whether or not the presence of these Shadim is felt in our world today. But clearly, at some point in time, so people contended with these things, and they had these entire approaches for how to deal with this. V'armilei, others say, Kanti, Kanti, Kliros. Others say, no, what you write on is, Kanti, Kanti, Kliros. Ka, 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 or ka, ka, Hashem Tzvakos, Amen, Amen, Amen. I'm sorry, I keep adding in extras. Amen, Amen, Sela. Right, so you write this all on the skin of the polecat. V'nishlechinu lema'ane, take off the clothing that you wore when the dog bit you. V'likberinu be'kavri atresa yachishasa, and bury it in a grave up to 12 months. V'nafkinhu, then after 12 months you unbury it. V'naklinu betanura, and burn it in an oven. V'navderinu likmate aprashas drachim, and burn it and scatter its ashes at the crossroads. V'hanach tresar yarchi shasa, and for those 12 months, meaning the 12 months after the bite, while the clothing is buried, so what should you do? Ki shasi maya, when you drink water, lo lishti ela b'gufsa denuchosha, you should only drink out of a copper straw. Dilma chasi b'voa d'shidim. I've also, you're going to see in this moment, the Gemara doesn't really care about copper, the Gemara cares about the straw. You should drink water from a straw. Shouldn't drink water directly from the actual cup. Why? Lest you see the reflection of a shade in the water. So apparently, Rav Osai, again, this has to do with shading. So yeah, let's see the. Again, I'm just going to read it to you. But I said just one thing I want to be clear, which is one thing one has to be very careful about is being disparaging of these things that we don't understand. Because clearly, if it's in the Gemara, if it's part of the Torah Akidosha, it means that it has some type of meaning. The fact that we look at this and I'm saying, you're saying, really? Skin of a male polecat? Like, that's where we're up to over here? That's why I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning to talk about skin? So the answer is, okay. Whether it doesn't relate anymore in the world in which we live, whether it doesn't, it's not kishu, if it's not any of these things, this is what Chazal did. So, okay, it's one of those things that we accept are part of a world in which we no longer have. So the Zimah goes back there. V'listakin, I'm sorry, Dilma Chazi B'Vol D'Shida, V'listakin, we're concerned about what? I'm sorry, what were we going to say?
I was just wondering why we can't say this is possibly a rabid dog and they didn't understand what this was.
I'm sorry?
Why can't we say this dog they're describing is a rabid dog and they didn't understand what rabid dog means?
Oh, because the fact that they're dealing with this like this, the fact that they're dealing with this with all these things, indicates that clearly they felt that there was something to it. Again, there are many times you can say that Chazal didn't understand certain things in the world of science. That's not a concern in Chazal, they just didn't know. But the fact that they're treating it like this indicates that there was something more they felt was going on over here. All right, so the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, it's like, Ki hod Abba bar Marta, who Abba bar Minyumi, just like Abba bar Marta, who was the son, who was Abba bar Minyumi. Again, different names for the same person. Of the law, Ime Govsa the Dava. His mother, when he had apparently this episode with the Kelev Shota, his mother made him a gold straw. So mostly the idea over here is, like we said before, we don't really care all that much about the copper. What we care more about over here is the straw. Okay. Va'od Amr Masya. So mostly now we're back to regular Gemara. So the Gemara says the following. Rav Masya said the following. Rav Masya also said in the Mishnah that if one goes ahead and choshesh bigrono b'shabbos, right, that one literally has a throat issue, choshesh bigrono. One has an issue that he's concerned about his throat on Shabbos, not just a sore throat, Rav Osai. Often when the Gemara describes things like this, they're describing almost more of like a constricting of the throat. So Rav Masya ben Charash says, we have him take medicine, Sam, we have him take medicine immediately for this on Shabbos. So the Gemara says the following. Rabbi Yochanan chash mitzvidna. Rabbi Yochanan was concerned about tzvidna. Rabbi will say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Tzvidna. Choli hashinayim v'chanichim. This is a sickness of the teeth and the gums. Umaschil bepeh. It begins in the mouth. V'gomer b'bnei ma'ayin. And it ends up in the intestines of the individual. Umesukanhu. And it's very dangerous. Rabbi will say, some want to suggest that the choshesh begrono of the Mishnah is actually this thing called tzafidna. It's actually all the same thing. So the Gemara says, what happens? Rabbi Yochanan was sick with tzafidna. Azul gaba ahu dematronisa. He went to a certain noble woman. I will say, bepashtos Rashi says, nachris haisa. Whenever the Gemara describes a noble woman, usually it's someone who's not Jewish. Then what happens? Avdilei milsa chamsho male shapsa. So Rabbi Yochanan goes to this woman for a remedy for his illness. So what does she do? She prepares for him enough of the medicine for Thursday and for Friday. So he says to her, Amr la b'Shabbos mai. So he says to her, new, and now we'll say, now the chap over here is, she wouldn't tell him what the remedy was. This was her secret brew. So she was keeping it to herself. She gave him enough day by day. So he said to her, new, what should I do on Shabbos? Amr le, she said to him, lo tzrichas, it's okay, you're going to be fine by Shabbos. So says Rabbi Yochanan, I imit tzricha mai. What should I do, however, if lamaisa I'm not well on Shabbos? What should I do then? Amr le, ishtaveli delomagali. So she said to him, listen, swear to me that if I tell you how to make this medicine, that you will not reveal it. Rabbi said, why doesn't she want it revealed? It's her parnasa. It's her parnasa. So what happens? So he says to her, he swore that I will not reveal it to the God of Israel. What happened? She gave it to him. Nafik drasha bepirka. So right after she gave it to him, he went out and he taught it in public. He revealed it. So the Gemara says, v'ha ishtavala. But one second, but he swore to her. Lelokadi Yisrael lomagalya. Yeah, he swore that he wouldn't reveal it to God. Hala amo Yisrael megalya. But to the Jewish people, he never swore that he wouldn't reveal it. I v'ha ikachil Hashem. What about the fact that there's a chil Hashem involved over here? Demegali la meikara. The truth is, he told her from the beginning that if he were to know this, he ultimately would reveal it. I will say, meaning what Rabbi Yochanan felt over here is that this is a piece of information that is necessary for the public. Safidna, remember, is a potentially life-threatening situation. So the notion that someone has a cure for it, or treatment for it, and will not reveal the treatment because they want to make money, Rabbi Yochanan felt was inappropriate. Again, and remember, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't now holding this for himself, so he could open his own Safidna business on the side. Rabbi Yochanan goes out immediately and teaches it to the general populace. So the Gemara says the following, Meikara my Avdilei. So, excuse me, my Avdilei. So what is, now that Rabbi Yochanan taught it obviously in public, so we know what was the new, what is it? What is the remedy for Safidna? Amar Rav Achmar Rav Ami, Meisar, water with yeast, or yeast water, Shemen Zayis, olive oil, Umelach and salt. Rav Yemer says, that's the remedy. Rav Yemer says, Sa'ar gufe. No, not yeast water, but yeast itself. Shemen zayis, olive oil, umelach, and salt. Rav Ashi says, Mishcha de gadfa de avza. Look at Rashi, I will say, Mishcha de gadfa de avza, shuman, moach, etzem, katan, shebarosh, knafa ov. So this is literally the fat from the wing bone of a goose. Okay. Amar Abaye, Ana avdi lekulhu velo istai. So Abaye says, to be honest, I tried this remedy for tzafidna that Rabbi Yochanan made public, and it never worked for me. Ad the amar liyahu tayo, until I once ran into a certain Arab merchant, and he told me the following remedy. I see kashiasa de zesa de lo mali tilsa. The boss says, go ahead and take the pits of olives from olives that did not mature to a third of their full maturity. Vikalinu benura. Burn them in a fire. Amara charata, literally over or together with a new hoe, a new farming instrument. The adbik bikachi daria, and take that paste, and smear it on the front row of your teeth. And says Abaye, avdi hachi, I did it, vistoi, and it worked. Mimai hava, how do you get safidna? Meaning, how does safidna come about? So the Gemara says, michamimi chamimi dichiti. Umishiure kasa daharnasa. Abbas, it comes from if you eat very hot wheat bread, I guess wheat bread that you didn't give a chance to cool down, very hot wheat bread, and from leftover kasa d'harnasa, almost like kasa d'harnasa is like a fish hash. They would take fish, like fish kishkas, and they would go ahead and they would cook it in its own oil together with flour. So apparently, if you leave that out overnight, which makes sense, and then you eat it, so it has certain detrimental health effects. Okay? Umay si money. What's the sign that a person has safidna? So Yomar says, Kadrami midi bekachya. As soon as you put anything in your mouth, meaning really what it's saying over here is, as soon as you put any pressure against your teeth, asa dama mi beidari, your gums begin to bleed. So apparently, again, any pressure on the teeth, any pressure on the gums, cause the gums to bleed, which seems to be an early indication of tzafidna. Rabbi Yochanan ki chashpit tzafidna av dihachi. Rabbi Yochanan would have a problem with when he was nervous that he had tzafidna. He would do this. Rabbi Yochanan, this refers to the remedy that we just described before. Now, this was true, Rabbi Yochanan, even on Shabbos. That's the Gemara saying over here. When he had, look at Rashi. Rashi. So the point the Gemara is making over here is that when Rabbi Yochanan would go ahead and we worried about Safidna, Avdi Hachi Bishabsa, he would go through this process on Shabbos, V'itzi, and he would be healed. And I will say, understand, obviously, the production of the remedy for Safidna involves Malachos. So the point the Gemara is making over here is that Rabbi Yochanan was concerned that perhaps he had a case of Safidna, he would not worry about the Malacha, and he would just go ahead and prepare the remedy. V'istian, he would be healed. Rabbi Yochanan, hechi avataki. How could Rabbi Yochanan do this? Amram nachar bar Yitzchok, shanit safidna. Meaning, Gemara is asking, how could Rabbi Yochanan violate Shabbos in order to treat the safidna? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi nachar bar Yitzchok says, shanit safidna, hoil umaschil bepeh, v'gomer bibne me'ayin. So Rabbi Yitzchok said, safidna is different. Why? Because it begins in the mouth and ultimately it makes its way down to the intestines. So the idea is that safidna is safek sakonas nefashos. It is a potential threat to life, and therefore again Rabbi Yochanan was permitted to even violate Shabbos to treat the safidna. Amri Rav Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan, kiman k'rem Masiya ben Charash. Whose opinion are you relying on? You're relying on Masiya ben Charash. What does Masiya ben Charash say? Damar ha-choshish pepiv matilin lo sam b'shabbos. Because Rav Masiya ben Charash says that if someone literally choshish pepiv means, we're now understanding choshish pepiv means that tzafidna. If a person has tzafidna, literally we make him his medicine or we give him his medicine on Shabbos. Amar lei sha'ani omer b'zu v'lo b'acharas. And he said, look at Rashi, sha'ani omer b'zu, modim lo chachamim shirafua lo, bekelev shota bechatzer kaved shal. So both sides. So now the Gemara says, and I believe that the Chachamim actually agree with Rabbi Masiya ben Choresh in this case, but not in the other. What was the other? The other case was the Kelev Shoteh. Remember, Masiya ben Choresh says, how do you treat a bite from a Kelev Shoteh? You kill the dog and give the victim to eat from the liver lobe of the dog. The Racham said that's ridiculous, right? But they did agree with Rabbi Masiya ben Choresh that you have to treat Safidna quickly, and the way to treat Safidna was with the cure above. Let's say the following supports this. Misha achzo yirakon, Rabbi says somebody who is jaundiced, ma'achilin oso baser chamer. They would give him to eat from donkey meat. Misha nashcho kelev shota, someone who was bitten by a crazy dog, ma'achilin oso mechatzer kavit shalom. They would give him to eat from the liver lobe of the dog. And someone who had safidna, matilin lo sam b'shabbos, we give him medicine on Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Masiya ben Charash. These words are Rabbi Masiya ben Charash. The Chacham say, be'elu ein bahem b'shum refua. So Rabbi said, the Chacham have a very interesting response. The Chacham say, and these are not proven medical remedies. So the Gemara says, be'elu l'me'utei mai. Now these seem to indicate that what? That some of the items mentioned in this list, the rabbis do not believe work, but perhaps others they do. So what does it come to exclude? My love, lemeute sam, does it not come to exclude the case of sam, that the Chachamim disagree with Masiya ben Charash and say that this remedy does not work for tzafidna? Lo, lemeute makizin dam lesurchani. No, what it comes to exclude is what? What it comes to exclude, Rabbi Yosai, is bloodletting, sirchuni literally is quincy. So this is also some type of throat ailment that apparently people very often confuse initially with tonsillitis. But it's not tonsillitis. It becomes something much more significant as time goes on. So apparently the way they used to treat quincy was through bloodletting, which of course is not a surprise, because in the times of the Gemara, they treated many things with bloodletting. Okay, so in other words, so the Gemara says the following, Hachanami, Hachanami Mistabra. So I will say, so therefore the Gemara is suggesting over here is that perhaps Chazal said the following, that Lemaisa, we don't agree with the list above in terms of that they actually provide refuah, but we do believe that Lemaisa, they bloodlet that the bloodletting for this sirhuni works. Hachanami, meaning when I say works, that they felt it was a valid form of refuah. Hachanami Mistabra, this seems to be clear. The Sanya, Shlosha Dvarim Amar Rabbi Yishma Rabbi Yossi, Shisham Mishmurai Masya Ben Charash. There are three things. There are three things that Rabbi Yossi, heard in the name of Rabbi Masya Ben Charash. And what were they? Number one, Makizin Dam L'Sirchani B'Shabbos. We can go ahead and do bloodletting for Quincy on Shabbos. Someone who was bitten by a crazy dog. We give him to eat from the liver lobe of the dog. Similarly, someone who is choshesh b'fiv, who has the tzifidna, matilin lo sam b'shabbos. We give him medicine on Shabbos. V'chacham and the chum say, be'elu ein bohem mishum refuah. These are not medicinally proven. So the Gemara says, be'elu l'me'utei. What does that come to exclude? Clearly the Rabbanon don't agree with Ramasim and Charash in many of the cases, but seem to indicate with one or two of them. Which ones? My love, atarti basraisa, ulime'utei dereisha. Isn't that coming to say that they disagree with the last two cases, but agree with the first one that it is a valid remedy? Lo, atarti dereisha kamaisa, ulime'utei deseifa. No, rather what it means to say is they disagree with the first two cases, which are both like, was the sirchuni and the caliph shota, but they agree in the case of the sam. They agree that the way to treat safidna ultimately is with this remedy, to which the Gemara says, Amud Beis, Tashma, the Tony Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Ubra, Sheiricha Ma'achilin Osa Achetash of Nafsha. Both like a pregnant woman, we had this before, a pregnant woman smells food on Yom Kippur. We give her to eat until her soul is restored, right? Literally until she feels better. Umisha Nashcho Kelev Shota, someone ultimately who was bitten by a crazy dog, Ma'achilin Osa Mechazer Kavichelo. We feed him from the liver lobe of the dog. Vachoshish Befiv. And someone who is suffering from tzafidna, we give them or we even make for them the necessary medicine on Shabbos. These are the words of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Yusin, Rabbi Masi ben Charash. The Chacham and the Chum say, Bizu v'lo ba'acheres. We agree with you in this one that it is medicinally sound, but not in the other ones. Bizu ahia. Which case are the Chachamim agreeing from Masi ben Charash? Ilema a'obra. If you want to say the Chachamim are agreeing with Rav Masi ben Charash in the case of the pregnant woman, so the Gemara says, Pshita, Ubra, Mi'ika, Laman, Da'amar, Dalo. Rabbi says, so what are you trying to tell me? That the Chachamim agree with Rav Masi ben Charash that the pregnant woman says that she needs to eat, that we're going to give her to eat? Of course, nobody disagrees with that. Rather, Ela Lav Asam. Rather, what must it be? It must be that although the Chachamim disagree with Rav Masi ben Charash Rabosa in the case of the Kelev Shota, and they disagree with Rav Masi ben Charash in the case of Sirchuni, of the Quincy, they agree with Rav Masi ben Charash where? In the case of Tzafidna. So they agreed that the remedy that we spoke about before for Tzafidna was in fact a sound, proven remedy, and Lemaisa, therefore, it can be made on Shabbos, even though it entails violation of Shabbos, because Safidna is Safek Sakhanas Nafashos, Shmamino, and indeed this is true. Ravashi or Ravashi says, Masnis Nami Deka, our Mishnah supports this assertion as well. The old Omar Rav Masya ben Charash, furthermore, Rav Masya ben Charash said, Hachoshish Befiv, was like someone who is concerned because of Tzafidna, Matilin Losam B'Shabbos. We go ahead and we make from this remedy on Shabbos. V'lo pligi Rabbanan Aleh. And amazingly enough, in the Mishnah, Rabbosai, the rabbis don't disagree with Ramasi Mecharsh. Because remember how the Mishnah read? Ramasi Mecharsh brought up the Kelev Shota and then brought up the idea that the way to treat the bite from Kelev Shota is how? Is to go in and feed you from the liver lobe of the dog. The Chachamim said no. But yet, when Ramasi Mecharsh brought up the Sam for Tzafidna, the Rabbanan did not disagree at all. Therefore, Vim Isa de Pligi Rabbanan Aleh. And if the rabbis really disagreed with this, La Arvinu Velisninu Velifligu Rabbanan Besefa. And if the Shua the rabbis really disagreed with this, then really both cases should have been stated, Kalev Shota and Hachoshesh Befiv. And then afterwards, the Mishnah could have said, Chachamim disagree in both of these cases. But therefore, the fact that the Mishnah does not say that indicates to us what? that although the Chachamim disagree with the case of Kelev Shulta, they agree with the case of Hachoshesh Befiv. And they agree with the fact that Rabbi said this is the beginning of Tzafidna. Tzafidna begins in the mouth and makes its way down to the intestines. It is Safek Sakonas Nefashos. And therefore, Lemaisa, you can go ahead and make a remedy for it on Shabbos. And everyone, both Rabbi Masi Ben Chash and the Chacham will agree with that. Shvamina, indeed, this is true. Mifmei Shesafek Sakonas Shesafek Nefashos. So Rabbi says, the Gemara says, Lamali Sula Meimar. V'chosafek Nefashos Dochas HaShabbos. So I'll say, now remember how the Mishnah read. So the Mishnah said, Ramasiv and Choresh said that you can go ahead and Achoshish Bigrono. I just want to also point out, remember, the Gemara used two different phrases for the same thing. Choshish Bigrono, Choshish Befiv. They're both the same thing. Literally, one means that one is concerned about what's happening in his throat or happening in his mouth. It refers to the same Safidna case. But the way that the Mishnah read is Ramasiv and Choresh says you could treat Safidna on Shabbos. Why? Because it's Safek Sakonas Nefashos. And then the Mishnah adds in the phrase, and every suffix sakonas nefashos is docha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, why do I need that last phrase? Meaning, that's obvious. We know that already. So the Gemara says, Amrav Yehuda Amrav, this is very interesting. Lo suffix Shabbos zu bilvad, amru, ela afilo suffix Shabbos acheres. Because the Mishnah is coming to teach me a very important idea. That not only am I allowed to violate Shabbos for suffix sakonas nefashos now, for this Shabbos, but I can even violate this Shabbos because of Safek Sakonas Nefashos for a future Shabbos. Now I'll say, what does that mean? Sometimes a person could go ahead and have a potential life-threatening situation. But imagine the following scene. It's 2 o'clock Shabbos afternoon. And so the truth is, you could delay treatment by 3.5 hours, and he'll be okay. Meaning, he's going to live. He'll make it. So I might have said, you know what? Okay, yes, it's a Safek Sakonas Nefashos. But the truth is, I could delay. So, again, let me be clear. The condition. The condition itself is Safek Sakonas Nefashos. But the fact that I could treat it 3.5 hours later after Shabbos will not compromise the patient anymore. So the Etz Gemara says, Lo Safek Shabbos Zubilvad. Obviously, if a person is in an active state of Safek Sakonas Nefashos, now, of course, you treat them. What I'm just coming to tell you is that even what? Ela afilu Safek Shabbos Acheres. So Hei Chidam, the Gemara says, what's the case? Kigon de'amdua le'tamnia yom. People say, let's say it's Shabbos, and a person contracts a condition. Do you contract the condition? That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. So you contract and the condition, and what happens? And the doctor says, oh, this is very serious. He has 8 days to live. So you say, Givaldik, 8 days to live, we can make Havdalah, right? And then we can treat it. And absolutely, right? Because again, so now the question is, should I violate 2 Shabbos? So 1 Shabbos. So I figure, you know what? Let me do like this. I'll do the Yom Kama Shabbos. And remember, the day that he got the diagnosis of Shabbos, I would have said, La'akiv ad la'orto. I might have said, okay, listen, we've at least, Baruch Hashem, we've got some time. Good news is we've got some time. He's not dying today, right? So we've got time. See, you know what? It's always easy to make these cheshbonos, probably with someone else's life, right? So what happens? So we go ahead and we say, you know what? Let's just wait until tonight. We'll make Havdalah. Ki hechi delo nechol alei treis shabsa. Because this way we don't have to violate 2 Shabbos, meaning we already know we're going to have to treat him. And Raj is going to have to treat him over a sustained period of time. So at least let's not be machalal this Shabbos. We'll treat him tonight. And it's not like he's not going to die before we treat him. Kamashwan says the Gemara, no. I'm sorry? Correct. So Kamashwan, we don't say that. Kamashwan, that as soon as we know that the person is in a state of Safek, Sakonas, Nefashos, we actively treat the individual. And even though technically speaking, you can say that another 3.5 hours is not going to make a difference in the long run, once he is in the parish of Safek Sakonas Nefashos, we treat him now. Kamashulon, no, that we don't wait until after Shabbos to treat him, rather we treat him now. Tami Nami Hafi, a rice that supports this. Mechamin chamin lecholu b'Shabbos. We heat up water. We heat up water for a sick person on Shabbos. Bein lahashkoso, bein lahavroso. Whether that's to give him to drink. Rabbosei lahavroso literally means to nurse him back to health, which usually means for bathing. Below Shabbos is Zubilvad, and not just for this Shabbos, Ella le Shabbos Acharis, but even for another Shabbos. So we'll say what that means is, something like we said before, even if the reason I'm doing this is not because he's going to die now, but because ultimately he's got a sustained issue that will potentially take him into next Shabbos as well. And even though I can make a logical argument to say, well, you know what, if I don't have to violate Shabbos, then it's not really going to compromise his situation any further. Maybe I should wait till afterwards. We don't make those cheshbonos, and we do what we have to do for the individual right here. And I want to be clear on something. Remember, this is even sofek sakhanas nefashos. Remember, sakhanas nefashos, vadai, not even a question. This is even a sofek. So now what we're doing is we always err on the side of caution. Always are on the side of caution whenever it comes to something that could even be potentially life-threatening, even if what? Even if the potential to become life-threatening is remote. Is remote. Obviously, you know, if I go ahead and I get a cut, so, okay, that's not going to be life-threatening. But any other injury, complicated injuries, which although may not present immediately as life-threatening, if left untreated could be potentially life-threatening, we deal with them actively on Shabbos. Ve'in omrim namtin lo shemayavri. And we don't say, you know what, before I heat up the water, why don't we see how you're going to do on your own? You know, we don't say that. Ela mechamen lo miyad. We heat up the water from immediately. Why? Because safek nefashos mosai sets aside the laws of Shabbos. For those safek Shabbos zu, and not only safek this Shabbos, ela afilu safek Shabbos acheres. But Rabosai, even for a future Shabbos, which as we said before is the case where a person is going to need prolonged treatment, which is going to go from this Shabbos into next Shabbos. Technically speaking, I don't have to start the treatment right this moment. I can wait till after Shabbos. Kamash Balan, as soon as you are in the parish of Safik Sekhanas Nefashos, we actively treat you now. The Gemara says, the Gemara said, this is amazing. Ve'in osim dvarim halalu lo al yedei nochrim v'lo al yedei kusim. When a person is in a state of safek sakhanas nefashos rabosai, we do not delegate the care of the chola to non-Jews or to kusim. Rabosai, again, remember kusim is another name. Remember kusim is this whole group that was resettled to Eretz Yisrael. Their conversion was questionable, which means we do not have. So rabosai, if a person is in a state of safek sakhanas nefashos and therefore needs to be treated, and that treatment requires chilul Shabbos, we do not ask non-Jews to do it. Rather, ela al yedei gidolei Yisrael. Said, this is an amazing statement. Rabosai, now what does it mean? It doesn't mean we go out looking for Gedolim. Right? What it means is that meaning whoever's present does it. And even if the only person present is the Gadol Yisrael, we don't say, I'm sorry, Gadol Yisrael, you know, we'll find you a nice son, Gentile to take care of this. Rather, you do it. So Rabosai, is incredible Yisod. Because the idea over here, Rashi actually, this is not the primary sugya for this, but the Gemara elsewhere discusses Rabosai, there's a concern. Then what happens? There's a concern that if you begin to delegate things like this, people may not act as quickly as they should. I'm also, you know where this came up? This came up, you know, there's an incredible institute in Israel called the Tzomet Institute, which is all about the integration of halacha and technology. So a number of years ago, they came out with this thing called the gramophone. So the gramophone was all about the ability to essentially use the phone on Shabbos without malacha, and it was made specifically for doctors. There was incredible backlash, and this is very interesting, from the right of center about this, saying, you don't need it. You don't need it. Why are you wasting time with this? If a doctor has to go ahead and take care of a patient, you don't need a gramophone. Call. You don't need a gramophone. You don't need a non-Jew. You have to take care of things actively yourself. And to do anything, what's the concern? The concern is if you start doing things through non-Jews or through kus, what's going to happen? There's a delay in the care of the patient. And sometimes in suffix, you need people to act immediately, quickly, and decisively. Anything that potentially slows down the process. Oh, so that's why I believe the gramophone never really caught on. It happens to be good, perhaps, for other things that doctors have to deal with that might not be active sakonos or suffix sakonos nefashos. But lemaisa, it's not necessary. You have to do it. Good. Sigma goes weiter. Ve'ein omrim, ve'ein omrim, yasu dvarm halalu, lo al pi nashim, v'lo al pi kusim. Furthermore, Rabosai, here's what's interesting as well. You can't go ahead and decide these matters on the basis of women or on the basis of kusim. Rabosai, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Api nashim. Im nashim o kusim omrim tsarich ein mechalin al pien. Just because a woman or kusim say that you have to go ahead and violate Shabbos, for this person, we don't immediately listen. Rabosai, now what does this mean? Right, be careful if you say this one over at the Shabbos table. Right? So what does this mean? So say, I think it is an incredible yisod here. So the kusim piece is because, again, the concern is that if somebody is not sensitive to halacha, they may just tell you to just violate Shabbos, even for something that's not suffix the karnas nefashos. What's the woman piece? So I think, and again, this is just my feeling. I'm sorry? Just be careful what I say. No, I think it's an incredible yisod. I think what the Gemara is saying over here is that women are much more emotional beings. And when a woman sees someone in distress, there is a much more reflexive reaction to that a person is in a state of suffering, and that state of suffering must be actively remedied. It might not be life-threatening, but it might be suffering. I think what Chazal understood is that men have the ability to be much more dispassionate and detached, right? And so they could look at someone and they could say, okay, I'm sorry you're suffering, you're refor shalema, but this is not sakranas nefashos or suffix karnas, and therefore does not require chil shabbos. I think we're a woman to look at that particular situation, again, the emotion kicks in, and we treat them. Biter. Aval mitzdarf in ledas acheres. However, they can go ahead and combine with others. And we'll say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Aval mitzdarf in ledas acheres. Kigon shnayim omrim tzorich. V'shlosh omrim ein tzorich. So we'll say, it's very interesting. If you have a machlokes over here about how to treat the individual. Machlokes are how to treat the individual, and you have a machlokes among people, so a woman or a kusi could go ahead, their opinion could attach to one of the sides. So Rabosa, remember, in these kind of things, often you have to go after the majority if you have a conflict of opinion. So the woman and the kusi could add to the numbers of opinions. Tan Rabbanon, mefachin pikuach nefesh b'shabbos. Rabosa, again, another amazing gemara. We deal with matters of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos quickly and decisively. Obviously, I want to be clear on something. In the previous case of the woman and the kusi, if they're the only people around who could go ahead and make the decision, then obviously they make the decision. Because lemaisa, again, it becomes a suffix sakaranas nefashos. What Yomar is talking about over here, if there's the ability to go ahead and get another opinion about this, then we would, assuming that time is not of the issue. Again, remember, the klal that comes out of all of this is we always err on the side of caution. That whenever there's a suffix, even if the suffix is small and even somewhat remote, we still go with it. Yomar says weiter. So we deal with matters of pikuach nefesh quickly and decisively on Shabbos. The hazor is harizei mishubach. Rabbi say, and the faster you deal with pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, the more praiseworthy you are. Ve'in zarach lito rishus mibeis. Rabbi say, is also, don't ask a shayla. You don't find this often in halacha, right? Don't ask a shayla. Don't go and ask your local rabbi what to do. Do it. Do it. And again, I always say, remember, the worst case scenario is pretty bad. The worst case scenario is you were wrong. But even if you're wrong, your actions were motivated by good intentions. And the truth is, sometimes, you know, we'd rather you be wrong than make a critical mistake and not getting someone the help they need. So that's what it means. Don't ask for something. Don't ask a shayla. Hakeitza. So you might give some examples. Ra'a tinok shenafal yam. If I can't see a baby that fell into the sea. Poris mitzuda umaleyu. Let's say also this is talking about if I'm on a boat. So you go ahead and you spread it. Let's say that, I guess it's a fishing boat. There's a trap. You quickly throw out the trap and get the baby up. So the Gemara says, "Hurry!" Excuse me. Vahazoris, and the one who does this quickly, Hurry! Zem shubach. You don't have to ask a shayla. Obviously, even though what? When you pull the baby up in the net, what else are you pulling up in the net? Fish. Fishing, hunting, trapping is one of the lamates malachos. Even though, again, by saving the baby, you are performing a malacha. The halacha says, okay, that's fine. That's the cost of doing business. So you have to save the baby. Sakaras nafashos. Don't ask the shayla, just do. Ra'a tinok shenaf alabar. If chas shom you saw a baby who fell into a pit. Oker chuya. Literally, this means you deconstruct the rim of the pit. These pits often used to have like a built-up rim. You deconstruct the rim. Now, deconstructing the rim could either be a form of soser demolition or bone or building, depending on what exactly you're doing. And you go up ma'aleu, and you get the baby out. And the faster you do this, the better it is. And you don't have to ask permission. Even though what? By removing the lip of the pit, you are effectively creating a stairway into the pit, and that's bone. If you see that a child got locked in the room, so what do you do? Shovra, you could break down the door. Umotzi, and get the baby out. And the faster you do this, the better off you are. And you need not ask permission from the Beis Din. And even though what you have in mind that when you break the door, you're going to have some good use for the firewood, right? You're going to be able to use the splintered pieces. So meaning you're having, so meaning you know already that you're going to perform this malach of breaking down this door, and you're going to get benefits from it later on. Fine. Next case. Rabosa, you can go ahead and literally extinguish a fire by placing a barrier. We saw this in Shabbos. One of the ways that you can't actively put out a fire on Shabbos unless, of course, there is sakarnas nefashos. Rabbi said, this is another good example that you can't put a parallel to sakarnas nefashos, but what can you do? So the Gemara said, you could make a line of earthenware vessels filled with water. And what happens? As the fire approaches, the heat will cause the earthenware vessels to shatter. The water will come out and extinguish the fire. So you could do this on Shabbos. But the Gemara says over here, this is even a more active case. Mechabin avosa means extinguish, actively extinguish a fire. Mafsikin means you can stop a fire from spreading. That's what I just described to you with the row of earthenware, with the row of earthenware utensils filled with water. So the Gemara says, v'hazoris harezim shubach. And the faster you do this, the more praiseworthy you are. The answer to Rishus from Beis Din. You don't have to ask Rishus from Beis Din. The afagav the kame machich mikuvi. And even though I will say, what's going to happen? The earthenware vessels will become like charcoal, and you'll be able to get benefit from that coal after Shabbos. So I will say, even though again there's benefit for you technically in all these things that you're doing, because there is suffix sakranos nefashos, you do it, you don't ask, and you do it quickly. So the Gemara says, why do you need all these cases? Utsricha, I need all these cases. Why? Diashmo inon yam. Well, say, just to be clear, also in the fire case, remember, there are two different cases. If there's a state of active sakranos nefashos, you can actively put out the fire. So we'll say, in our day and age, fire is always sakranos nefashos. That's in our day and age. In Chazal's day and age, it wasn't necessarily that case. Because, for example, people didn't live as close to each other necessarily. So if I live in a remote area, my next neighbor is far away, there's no electricity. Right, there's no gas lines, so there are not the things that, let's say, in our homes are extremely combustible. So what's the worst case scenario? What could happen? My house will burn down. Okay, you can't put out a fire on Shabbos to save your possessions. So again, that would. But however, what I can do is I could create that perimeter of earthenware vessels to keep the fire from spreading. So if there's sakranos nefashos, I could put it out directly. If it's not sakranos nefashos or even savis sakranos nefashos, I can only prevent the spread. So the Gemara says, I need all these cases. Why? So the Gemara says, if it would have just been the case of the baby falling into the sea, mishum da'adahachi bahachi azale. Because we'll say, if you don't act quickly with the baby who falls into the water, the baby's going to be gone. Right? The current's going to take the baby away. But I might have thought that maybe when the case of the baby falls into the bar, baby's not going anywhere. We'll say, you have to say also that it has to be, it's a case where you're not concerned, and maybe it wasn't such a deep bar. Whatever the metzias is, I might have thought I don't have to act as quickly. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, the Gemara is teaching that case. I have to act quickly in the case of the bar as well. V'ashma inan bar mishum de kamabis. And if it would have just taught me the case of the bar, because maybe the child is scared about being in the bar. Aval nin eles delas efshad yosef b'haygiso mishabish leiba agam guzi. But in the case of where the child gets locked in the room, I would have said, okay, there's no big rush, because you can entertain the child from the other end of the door, the Gemara says, with nuts. I don't know what that means exactly. I don't know if there's a game of nuts that you can play against the door or sliding nuts under the door. Whatever it is, the point is you can keep the child entertained until after Shabbos so you can find a way to break down the door. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, the Gemara tells you in all of these cases, Rabbi will say, what? Halocha lemaisa, where there's any potential suffix, sakranos nefashos, I act. What it literally means, just for your edification, is as efshar di yosef b'hagisa, you could sit on the other side of the door, or mishabish leba amaguzi, and you could play with the child with nuts and keep the child entertained. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, lemaisa, I need all of these cases teaching that in any case of safek sakranos nefashos, I act, and I act quickly and decisively. All right, we'll have to stop over here. Daf tomorrow morning is at 8:15. 8:15. The Shiva house is 6:45 still. 6:45. Oh, Kozlowski is gonna give up. Sunday morning is the last meeting. Levi was Monday.
We're living in New Jersey.
So it was like when my kids, the boys were babies, and Shani accidentally locked that. I think she did an accident.
She locked them in the room.
She was mamish like a bahala. He was ready to kick down the door.
Yeah, very, very. You
were the kid.
Yeah, I remember exactly what happened. They brought me with a little matchbox car.
They brought you to stay in there?
No, to get. I wouldn't get up from what I was doing to go open the.
Oh, so you were voluntarily locked in there. You were not.
George Washington is Quincy treated with bloodletting.
Bloodletting, interesting.
George Washington
treated
with Quincy treated with
bloodletting. Yeah, no, clearly that didn't work. Didn't
it's
work.
Not 2,000 years.
Yeah, ago. It worked 2,000 years ago.
It's not 2,000 years ago.
Right.
250 years ago.
Right. Well, it's relatively recent that they stopped that bloodletting.
Right. But it was considered common knowledge. This was common, normal, everyday.